Door Baptist Church, we're glad to have you all here this morning. Will you please stand up, and we are going to open the service with No Sweeter Name Than the Name of Jesus. Is the only hope in the way. I turn on the news every day, I see darkness all over the place. But when I look in the Bible and I begin to praise God, I see nothing but light. Amen. Will you bow your heads as we open up with prayer? Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you that your son Jesus is the way. It was through his shed blood and sacrifice that enabled us to be drawn back to you, God, and be redeemed. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. And Lord, I thank you for our church body, God. I thank you that we can come here and praise you in spirit and in truth. And I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us this morning, God. As we sing these songs, we sing praises to you, our own true holy God. And Lord, be with Larry this morning. Speak mightily through him through the power of your Holy Spirit and the word that you have provided us, God. Change our hearts into what you want us to be. And I thank you for it all. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Anybody know what last week was? Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I forgot that. So we're going to sing a song that really reminds us of that sanctity of human life here this morning. Wonderfully made.
It's 2 in the morning, I'm still alive.
guys might think sometimes I put a lot of thought into putting sets together. But it really seems like the Holy Spirit just puts it together. And I wanted to sing this song several weeks ago, totally forgetting that it was Sanctity of Life Sunday last week. So it ended up in the set this week. And then I seen the news this morning that Minnesota passed a law that totally unrestricted abortion in the state of Minnesota. The most liberal law about it in the United States. They care nothing about life. And then I was sad because I forgot. We thought so much about the Supreme Court, and I forgot. And I forgot that this was Sanctity of Sunday. And I imagine a lot of you guys did too. And I don't ever want us to forget. And I don't ever want us to forget about those moms that are out there that are lied to, that told they have a choice when they have a baby. And I pray this morning that the only thing that can get to them is Jesus. And I want us to pray this morning. We speak Jesus to them. Amen. Lord God, I pray for all these people who are being lied to today. And we know that the only thing that can get to them is you and your son, Jesus, God. And I pray that we show Jesus to them. We don't want to show them ugly. We want to show them love. We want to show them Jesus. Because it's through your son that is the only thing that we have to offer. It's just you, God. And I pray that we do that. Amen. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Shine through the shadows, burn light. and give God the praise. Amen.
May have love. bow your heads. I've asked the praise band to do this song again. Donna leaned over to me. She goes, did Mike know what she was preaching about? And I'm like, no. Then I said, yes, he did. I want them to play this and sing this. I want you to bow your heads. Make this our prayer at this time, right now, in this place. Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know, just don't want to stop, right, brother? Oh, no, good gravy. Keep it. Just want to make a brief announcement before we start. They have taken Sister Patsy to hospice this morning. Or they will be taking her to hospice this morning. So be much in prayer for not only Patsy, but the family members. And I have another prayer request I want to share with you. I cannot share all the details from here, but if you want to know more, let me know. But we need to lift Pastor Joe Buchanan. He was the former pastor here, my pastor. We need to lift his church up in prayer mightily today. They had a young man that was, I don't know how to really explain it. It was started out as a bad joke, and it appears that he has accidentally committed suicide. So he's not gone yet, but they plan to unplug him today. And I have to tell you, I wish I could explain to you the seriousness of this. It was a really bad joke that his wife will never get over her entire existence. And it was just, she didn't do it. She didn't do anything wrong. He was playing a joke, and she just laughed and walked out, and it was a joke. And so he has to minister through this. So lift up his... Like I said, if you all want to stay after and you want me to explain it to you, I will. But just pray for Pastor Joe Buchanan and his staff, okay? All right. That was powerful worship, brother. It really was. It just was so spot on. Amen. And I hope my word can do what you did justice, which I believe it will because it is the word of God. Amen. All right. So the faith that does save. The faith that does save, we're going to look at that, right? Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 25 through 40. And over the past few weeks, I've taken a very in-depth look at what it looks like when we have a faith that does not save. That's what we looked over the last few weeks, a faith that does not save. We looked over in Acts 8 at a man named Simon, and What we learned was that although Simon was religious and he did all the right things outwardly, he did all the right things physically, he was still not saved. And the reason was because inwardly, spiritually, his heart was not right with God. His heart was not in a position that it needed to be to receive Jesus Christ. Do you remember he tried to buy the Holy Spirit? You remember that? That was the issue. That was the whole issue. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit for his personal gain. And since his heart was not right, the Holy Spirit did not come up on him. Therefore, Simon was not saved, which clearly shows you that a person like Simon, or anyone else for that matter, right? Can make all the right choices and they can do all the things right outwardly, but not be right with God. Remember, he said the prayer. He invited Christ into his life. He was baptized. He joined the church, and he served right alongside Philip, the evangelist. But yet Simon was not saved. God's Spirit was not in him. And I believe that the reason was because Simon's faith was not built, right? Simon's faith was not built on the Word of God. His faith was not directed by God. Instead, it was manifested by Simon's own selfish ambition. So Simon was just like many today, right? He was just like many today who seek the benefits of God. They want the peace. They want the healing. They want the joy. They want the power. They want the salvation, right? Right? We all want that, right? They want the salvation. But they truly do not seek God himself. They want the benefit package, but they don't really seek God himself. They want all of the benefits of God, but they do not want the lordship. Very important. They do not want the lordship of God. They want the Savior part, but not the lordship part, meaning they want the relation to the Lord, right? They want that part of it. But they don't want anything else. Generally, this is a person when God doesn't do what they want, or when they suffer some type of trial or tragedy in life, or if God's word denies them of some sort of action or behavior, they pull away from God. They step away from God. They step back from God. They themselves then will even go to the point to denounce God. They say, if this is what God is like, then I don't want any part of it. And let me just stop and pause right here. What I'm about to preach to you, when I first heard this, sitting in Joe Buchanan's office, which is now my office, I looked at him and said, if this is who God is, I want no part of him. That's how serious this is. That was me. Not you. That was me. And through much prayer and seeking God's will, I told you my story about going down the hill there past Nancy's house, that God revealed to me exactly what he meant by this. And I believe truly that was the day I was saved. Was that day. So listen, this is important stuff. We need to get this down. But listen, a true believer praises God in the mountaintops. And if you was in Haas's class, you praise God in the mountaintops and the valleys of life as well, right? And a true believer trusts in God and his sovereignty, and not just on his benefit package, but sovereign over all things. God, we must realize that he is sovereign over all things. Because listen, he is either God of all or he's not God at all. So this morning, I want to show you how true faith develops, how faith comes upon an individual's life. Well, God's word will show us firsthand, right? It'll show us firsthand and hopefully help us to understand that apart from the direction of God himself, listen to me, apart from the direction of God himself, no one, that means no man, no woman, no child will ever come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ without God's leading, guiding, drawing, and calling. That from the beginning to end, salvation is totally, right? From beginning to end, Salvation is totally a God thing. So turn with me in your Bibles and let's jump into this and look at the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 8, starting in verse 25. Just read along with me if you will. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned. Who were they? We're talking about Philip and John and who was the other guy? Who was it? Peter, right? So that these guys, right? So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages and Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with me. The place in the scripture where he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe," see, salvation first. "If you believe with all your heart, you may," what? "You may be," what? "Baptized." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It's plain and simple, right? So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, I don't know how you say that, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as we look at this text this morning, I believe it is blatantly obvious that apart from God directing this entire event from the physical and the humanly side to the spiritual aspects of the eunuch's response, I think God's behind all of this, that this man would have never come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ apart from God beginning a work. So apart from God's influence in the life of Philip, right, God's servant, and so apart from God's influence in the life of Philip and the eunuch combined, right, this man on his own would never have come to a faith in or understanding of who Jesus Christ truly is. Who is what? Our Redeemer, our Forgiver, our Savior. Because this text that we just read, this text clearly reveals God's sovereignty over every aspect of a person's salvation. God's sovereignty was over every aspect of a person's salvation. Remember, Simon on his own chose to do all the right things. Simon on his own chose to do the right things, but he was not saved. We must never forget, Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Right, that if he begins the work of faith in you, he says, "I promise I will most definitely bring it to completion. So what I start, I'm going to finish," right? Well, let's jump into our text and unpack God's word for us today. Watch this. A genuine faith, a faith that saves, requires and comes through this: proper preparation. proper preparation. Now, if you remember back in the parable of the sower, it was only the good, the properly prepared soil that brought forth the fruits of salvation, right? So just as God worked out his sovereign will to prepare this eunuch's heart, right? God's working his eunuch's heart. The soil of the soul is the heart, right? That's the soil of our soul is our heart. So this is his sovereign will was to prepare this eunuch's heart to receive salvation. He also has to begin a work in all of our hearts as well. Still to this day, he has to begin a work in your heart and he has to begin a work in my heart. That before we can ever come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, our hearts have to be prepared properly. And part of that preparation is understanding that salvation is totally God's work. Totally God's work. And apart from God's will to work in a person's life, the truth is they will never come to a genuine saving faith. Now, you don't like that, so I'm going to repeat it again, all right? Apart from God's will to work in a person's life, the truth is they will never come to a genuine saving faith. Now, listen, let me help you with this. I struggled with this too. So don't throw things at me, all right? Listen, it is important that I make you understand all salvations, all of them, all salvations originate through the sovereign will of God and not your own. Look with me. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. John chapter 6, verses 64 and 65. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. 65, and he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. So, yes, let's just put a little tiny pause here. Yes, me must make a response to follow Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must respond to that call, right? We have to respond to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But you can't do that apart from the work of God in you first. Unless he gives you the faith to believe. Hang on, I want to unpack it for you, all right? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him. I want you to look for the word you in any of these verses going forward. I want you to look for the word you in any of these, right? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, right? Having predestined us as to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. For whom he called, these he also justified. And he justified, these he also glorified. Do you see the word you in there? It's not there. I just want to bring attention to a few words in these verses. Ready? Just a few words in these verses. I want to bring attention to them. God appointed, God granted, God chose, God adopted, God accepted, God called. Do you see it? God appointed, God granted, God chose, God adopted, God accepted, God called. These verses and many, many more, we would be here a long time. These verses and many more revealed who chooses who when it comes to salvation. Many times we think that we choose God and that we have the faith to believe on our own, but that's not true. You don't choose God on your own because you don't have the faith on your own. Because quite honestly, even the faith that it takes to believe in Jesus was given to us by God. Listen to me. Faith is a gift. And that gift, any gift from God is what? Free, right? But for us to believe, it was a gift given. Faith is a gift given to us by God. You on your own, your own merit or choice, cannot produce enough faith to believe in Jesus Christ unless God gives it to you first. Now, that's a hard word, right? And you say, well, I don't agree with that. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace, whose grace? God's grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen what this verse says. We can't produce any faith on our own. None. We have faith only through God's grace. That's the only way we have it. It's a divine work of God. It's only through His sovereign will, through His preparing our hearts, that saving faith can be produced. Let me say it again. It's only through God's sovereign will, through God's preparing our hearts, that saving faith can be produced in an individual's life. Listen, I don't care who you are, including you and me. So what does all this mean, Pastor? What are you saying? Well, this means this. That I cannot, you cannot be saved, right? You and I cannot be saved. You cannot become a believer in Jesus Christ just because you decide one day, hey, I'm going to become a Christian today. You just wake up and say, well, yeah, I think today is a good day. I think today I'm just going to, nope. Because remember, you cannot produce enough or any, in fact, of faith. You cannot produce the faith that it takes to believe on your own. If you wake up and decide that I'm going to give my life to Christ, it's because Christ has already began a work in you. You and I can only be saved by grace if, there's a word there, little two letters, right? But we can only be saved by grace if God chooses to give it to us first. Our salvation begins only through the work of God and His Holy Spirit. Simply put is this, salvation is implemented by God's grace, not by your choice. It's probably making some people uncomfortable, I imagine. Salvation is implemented by God's grace, not by your choice. You're not in control. You are saved by His grace, by His choice, to produce faith in you. Oh, this is getting a little, wait a minute, that's not the way I understood. I thought I understood. I could just make it my, when I want to do it at my will, when I want to make it my will to be saved, then I'll just reach out and pray to God. And when I do that, then I say that prayer, and then I'm going to be saved. You better go back and look at Simon. You better go back and look at Simon. And then you better jump forward to these verses and you better begin to read these verses. It's His choice to produce faith in you. It's not on your merit or works, right? Because if it was on our merit or our works, then we would boast about it. I did this. It was mine. It was all on me. It was my choice. I decided. Nobody made. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, it's no one can say it's by their works or by their merit. You see, if it is by your choice or if it's by my choice to believe, watch, then salvation comes by you and what you do, or me or what I do, right? It comes by what you do or I do, and not by God's grace. It's not by God's grace and His doing. Listen, if it was solely by choice, then I would boast and say, I'm saved because I chose to be saved. The reason I'm saved is because I decided that I was going to be saved. And when we do this, this is my opinion. This is my opinion. When we do this, It nullifies God's grace. I did it by myself. It was what I decided to do. When we do this, I believe it nullifies God's grace, or the need of it, for a matter of fact. It nullifies God's grace or the need of it, and not only that, it goes against the teaching of God's word. Therefore, right? Therefore, because of this, therefore, we must all understand our pre-existing spiritual condition. Does anybody here understand our pre-existing spiritual condition? Do you understand what that is? Do you understand that all people, I don't care. You start here and make it all the way around the world this way, all the way around the world, and then just keep doing it. All, right? All people are born spiritually dead. And this in of itself keeps us from attaining salvation by our own efforts or choice. That stops it. We are spiritually dead. And this barrier, right, of being spiritually dead, this barrier of being spiritually dead, what is the wages of sin is? Death. That's spiritual. It's a spiritual death, right? This barrier of being spiritually dead, because of what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Because of sin, right, it disables us to make any response to God on any spiritual level. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us very simply and very directly, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead spiritually. Listen, I want you to think about this. When a person dies, now I'm talking about a physical death, you know, like lying in the casket, kind of dead, right? Physically, let me ask you, can that person respond to any physical stimulation? No. I mean, if you were to go up and stick a dead person with a needle, would they respond? No, they nothing, right? Why? Because they're dead, right? Therefore, they cannot feel anything, right? Or what if you were to go up and go, tickle, 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 tickle? I would probably roll over, just so you know. No, but what if you go up and just tickle a person? Would they begin to laugh and giggle? No. Why? Well, my sister Penny might. I'm not sure. But anyways, why would they not laugh or giggle? Because why? Because they're dead. They can't respond to any stimulation, a physical stimulation at all. A dead person cannot respond to anything, right? Any stimulation. Well, the same principle exists for a person who is spiritually dead. They cannot respond to any spiritual stimulation. This is where the phrase dead men don't believe. That's where it comes from, that dead men don't believe. A person who is spiritually dead cannot make a choice to believe or not to believe to be saved on their own. Why? Because they can't. They're dead, right? Right. Because they're dead. They're dead spiritually. Remember this. Remember. But hold on. Hold on. Praise God. Because the same God who gave you physical life can also grant you spiritual life as well. Amen. But again, apart from him and his imparted grace to you, his impartation of grace to you, you will never be made spiritually alive apart from him. I don't believe you, Pastor. I don't know, Pastor. This is hard stuff, Pastor. I don't like what you're saying up there. I want to be in control of this. Well, okay. I'm telling you, you're not, right? All right, if you don't believe me, then look at John chapter 6, verses 35 through 44. John chapter 6, verses 35 through 44. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, right? God, Jesus is saying, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, right? This is the will of the Father. Underline that. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he, the Father, all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me. This is the will of God. This is the will of him who sent me, Jesus speaking, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. This is what they got hung up on, right? And they said, is this not the son of Joseph? First of all, he is not the son of Joseph. There's a problem. Joseph was not Jesus' daddy. God was. All right? And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Now listen, I want you to read this part with me out loud. I want you all to read this with me out loud. Ready? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And look what Peter says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. The sinful man, that's my nature, I was born with the nature of sin. It's not when I sin, I'm going to. It's already in me, right? But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. I cannot receive the things of God spiritually because they're foolishness to me, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Do you see a natural man? That means a rebellious, sinful man, like we all were, a man who, apart from God and our sinful nature, right? A natural man does not accept the things of God. That's what that just said. A natural man does not accept the things of God. Why? Well, look at what Paul says. They are foolishness to him. Therefore, he cannot understand the things of God, nor can he know them. That's even more interesting, right? He cannot only understand, nor can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned, and a natural man is spiritually dead. Therefore, we in our own nature, separated from God, we all are, right? In our sinful nature, we come. The wages of sin is death. We are eternally separated from God, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, right? Therefore, in our own nature, separated from God, cannot make a choice. We cannot make a choice on our own to believe something spiritual. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, that apart from the working of the Spirit and opening and preparing our hearts to receive, right? Apart from God doing a work, the Holy Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Apart from the working of the Spirit and opening and preparing our hearts to receive the preaching of the gospel. You know, Pam and I, on Wednesday night in a prayer meeting, and those who were listening, I put out a plea that we start praying for lost people, didn't I? And we prayed Wednesday night that God would start preparing the hearts of all who would enter this building to receive this word, that God would do a work. Opening and preparing our hearts to receive the preaching of the gospel, that it will... We need him to do that, or it'll become a stumbling block. And if he doesn't do it, it'll become foolishness to us, to those who God does not appoint or grant or adopt, to those that God does not call. So in light of these truths that God has pointed out to us today, it is absolutely crazy to assume anyone apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in his or her lifeless spiritual soul could ever come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Because we in of ourselves cannot climb the barriers that are separating us from God. What is the barrier that is separating us from God? Sin. And for all have sinned. It falls short. Therefore, God must first reach out in love. God must reach out in mercy to us. God responds to us, right? He reaches out to us through how? His sovereign will. And if he does not do it, then no one could ever, ever, ever be saved. Meaning if God does not draw us, he will never come. We will never come to a saving faith on our own. Why? Because apart from that, God reaching out to us, but apart from that, we will never discern the spiritual truths and teachings of God. It's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo apart from God. Now, I have explained all this. I have explained all of this to show you that this is what is happening in our text today between Philip and the eunuch. That God is drawing the eunuch to himself. That God is doing the preparatory work, right? He's doing the pre-preparation or preparatory work, drawing the eunuch to himself. That's what God's doing. And we can see how. If you look in here, we can see how he's doing that. That God himself maneuvered Philip into a very detailed strategic position, right, for a divine appointment. How did Philip end up out here with this guy? I mean, it's a divine appointment by God. It's a spiritual appointment. And like Philip, God, listen, and just like he used Philip in this story, in this event, that God uses you and I. God uses you and I as believers, right? Believers, he uses believers to this very day to be a part of his will and his work. I'm the pastor and I don't get it. I don't. Me? You know what the scary part of this is? I know me. And the really scary part about it is God knows me better than I know me. But he chooses to use me in his work just like he did Philip here. But God, he's drawing this eunuch. And I want you to notice this whole event could have only happened through God's direction. It had to be under God's direction. Do you see it there? Look. It happened with God's direction through Philip, but not only that, but God had already started to draw the eunuch through his word. He'd already begun to work in the eunuch. He started to draw the eunuch through his word because, listen, I don't have time to unpack all of these verses. You all just took a sigh of relief, right? I don't have time to unpack all these verses, but the fact that this Gentile eunuch, the word Gentile means he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Jew, all right? That this Gentile eunuch had, listen, the fact that this Gentile eunuch had a written scroll of Israel in his possession, trust me when I tell you, just the fact that he had this in his possession was an act of God himself. They just didn't hand those things out on the corners like we do with the Bibles today. That's not how that worked. Very, very, very expensive. And for a Gentile to have it in his possession, incredible work of God. And the fact that he was reading it, trying to understand it, was driven by God also. And also the verse is, look at the verses that he was reading. When Philip arrived, look, the verse he was reading was not by accident either. Look what he was reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Can you see it? God was working right there in this eunuch's life. God was preparing all the circumstances around this man's life for one purpose. All these circumstances around this one man's life was for one purpose, and that was to reveal Jesus Christ to him. Amen. Which would ultimately produce a faith, the reading, right? Which would ultimately produce a faith in the heart of the eunuch that would bring his spirit to life and save him. Faith comes through the hearing of what? What's he reading? And what will God's word do? If it's in his will, it'll draw you to himself. But before this can happen, watch. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. But before this could happen, something else had to happen first. It's really important, actually. Before this could happen, something else had to happen first. And to find out what this is, you'll have to come back next week for part two of this message. You're just no good. Yeah, part two of the message on the faith that saves. But how about you today? There's a lot there today that we need to think about for a while, right? How about you today? I can't help but think that if you are here this morning, that God is preparing your heart to have the faith that it takes to believe. You're not here by accident. You may think, well, I came here just to satisfy so-and-so, or, you know, I just felt obligated because I don't care why you're here. Listen, you're not here by accident to hear this message. Why? I'm going to tell you why. And I believe this wholeheartedly, because we prayed. We prayed and asked God to send, right? Maybe God's preparing your heart to have a faith that it takes to believe. That's hard business right there. Or Christian, perhaps God is preparing your heart to place you in a place of divine appointment. I'm talking to you Christians. Perhaps God is preparing your heart to place you in a place of divine appointment. Perhaps God is preparing you, like he did Philip, to share your faith, to share what you know about the Word of God, to lead someone who doesn't believe to believe. So let me ask you this, Christian, as the praise band comes. Let me ask you this, Christian. Do you pray for God to use you? Do you pray to God to help lead someone, help for God use you to help lead someone to Christ? I'm going to put out a challenge to you, Christians, as I did Wednesday night. Listen, it's okay to pray for our needs. Most of our prayers, most of the time, are probably majority self-centered. I want us to get off of that. Not that I don't want you to pray for yourself, but I want you to start getting others-centered. Get others-centered. Get centered your prayers on the lost, for those that are perishing, that God would draw and he would use you to help in drawing. Or Christians, are you praying for God to call someone in this place today? Are you actively praying right now? Right now as we sit here, are you actively praying for God to call someone to salvation? I've been praying it the whole time I've been in this word today. God, please move in a powerful way. Call someone to yourself today. Are you praying that, Christian? I pray that we all are actively doing this right now as I speak. And maybe you're here and God has been calling you, but you have not responded to his call. Or maybe you're just not sold out on all this faith in Jesus stuff. Well, let me tell you, if you even partially think that any of this could be true, would you not pray and ask you and ask God to give you the faith to believe if it is?
Amen.
Listen to me. I have a close friend. Praise God. 8 years. And the only excuse I ever heard, I'm talking 3 hours, 4 hours in a car, days on end, weekends on end. He said, I want to believe. I just don't have the faith to believe. And I said, well, pray and ask God. He says, I am. 8 years. And just at the point I was going to give up and thought, I'm exhausted. In front of Cheddar's at the Highlands on the sidewalk, this man prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And how do I know it? It changed his life. And that person, and we get in so much trouble, is now sitting in the back of the church and is the head of our security. This is real, folks. If you think that it could be true, then pray. Ask God, Lord, I want to know if this is true. Please put this faith in me. Put it in me, because if it's true, I want it, right? Or maybe you're here today and you do believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who was sent for the forgiveness of your sins. And you want to respond to God's call for salvation upon your soul. You say, I want this. I want that. I want to put my faith in truth. I believe this. It's true. And I want to know God's revealing it to me. Then come. Don't delay. Don't delay. Why? Because God's calling. If God is calling, if he was knocking at your door, your house, and you looked out and seen Jesus stand there, the question is, will you open the door, or are you going to act like you're not home? Whew. Come while God's calling. He is our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Father God, thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, I don't want to say much because I don't want to interrupt your spirit. Father, I pray that your spirit move powerfully and mighty in this place today, and that there would not be a person that would leave here today without knowing you as their Lord and Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't delay, you come. You don't have to know everything. You just need to know that you need Jesus Christ. listen, only thing I can tell you, if you're hearing that call from God, please answer. What if his calling stops?
Amen.
What if it stops? Look, God is so good, and he is so sweet. Brother, he is so awesome. Isn't he? Listen, I have an old life I don't want to return to. I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to go back there. Amen? Listen, don't put it off. Christians, you keep praying. There's a couple more sermons in this series, so pray that God works in a powerful way. Amen? Listen, don't forget to pray for all of our loved ones who are ill, you know, that are out ill. And just remember, you know, the Schaefer family also in your prayers. And when you go out of this place, that's where worship starts. That's where worship starts. When you walk out those back doors, that's where worship starts. Ask the Lord to give you the privilege to share his grace with someone. So as you depart through this place, go in peace. Go under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that in you is the Holy Spirit of God that can overcome anything that this world throws at you. Amen?
Amen.
Go in peace. God bless you and thank you for coming.
Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer.